The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2, and it's reading verses 15 to 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Babies are always special for the parents, anyway. Being at their birth was a feeling, an experience that nothing can quite match. Babies have this knack of just taking over. Ah, isn't he cute? And even the hardest of men, you put a baby in their arms and they're at a loss, especially if they have a smelly nappy. And there's just something captivating about a new life. The innocence, dependence of this little young life strikes at our emotions. We look at their small fingers. We laugh as they yawn. We are amazed as they try to walk. And we're proud of their first spoken word. Let's face it, babies do strange things to us. It's amazing, isn't it? You can take a perfectly mature adult and put them in front of a baby and they'll do some very unusual things. Say some unusual and strange things. They begin to talk silly. They twist their faces into all sorts of contortions, make faces at the baby. Never make them at another adult, just to get the baby to laugh and to smile. And perhaps that's one of the reasons Christmas affects us the way it does. The cuteness of a new baby, the story of shepherds and wise men, stars and angels, all add to this special appeal of Christmas. But there's mystery as well, baffling mystery. I cannot imagine what it meant for the eternal God who created the cosmos and all the life which is in it to become a helpless infant. It stretches the mind beyond its limits. It's easier for us to think of a child of promise in a cradle than it is to imagine the Christ who is God and rules in heaven being born into a world. We understand babies, but we don't understand God becoming a baby. We like cute, but we avoid profound mystery. And so many try to keep Jesus in the manger. They refuse to allow him to grow up and die on a cross. And it's good to enjoy the charm of Christmas, but we do have to allow him to grow up. And we have to grow up in our understanding of faith. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. If you were to choose a character in the Christmas story that you would like to be, which one would you pick? Joseph? Mary, one of the shepherds, a wise man, maybe an angel. Last year, a child cried because they were asked to be Joseph in the school nativity. They wanted to be a donkey. What would you want to be? The angel? What a privilege that would have been to make that announcement and then to be surrounded by a heavenly host saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." Maybe a shepherd. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be one of those shepherds that night? Here you are on a hillside, Everything is quiet and peaceful. And suddenly the sky is aglow with a heavenly light, and you hear the news that the world has been waiting for 1,000 years. How would you have reacted if you had been there? Luke tells us that the shepherds at first responded with fear. Who wouldn't? When Isaiah had a vision of God, he cried out, "Woe is me." When the prophet Ezekiel saw only the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God, he fell on his face. It was Ezekiel who saw the glory of God leave the Jerusalem temple, a departure that heralded terrible judgment. And it was Ezekiel who was shown the future when the glory of God would return amongst his people. And now the glory shines all around the shepherds. No wonder they were scared. God had come to a world that had rebelled and continues to rebel against him, continues to ignore him. And yet the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for today in the town of David, a Savior has been born." And then it's over. Now what do you do? What do you do when the angels are gone? What do you do when there's no more heavenly host? What do you do when Christmas is over? Put your feet off? Sleep off the excess? Make your New Year's resolutions? Well, I think the shepherds set us a great example. So three things to notice as we close this year and start 2022. Firstly, they investigated the evidence. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They decided to check it out. And I think one of the great weaknesses in the church today is that there are so few who are really checking things out. We just kind of believe whatever we're told, without bothering to check out the evidence. But if the church is going to stand strong for the Lord Jesus until he comes again, there's got to be Christians who know what they believe and why they believe it. It's not enough to be told the story from the pulpit or to remember it from Sunday school, because some of the stuff you hear from the pulpit is wrong. 2020 YouGov poll, not in this church, by the way. Not in this church, but in other churches. Okay? 2020 YouGov poll. So last year, November last year. 21% of Christians said religion is important to their life. What about the other 79%? 21% said religion is important to their life. 59% of Christians, this is of Christians who were polled by YouGov, 59% said they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. 14% of Christians believe that the Christmas account is entirely accurate. 14% of Christians who were polled believed that the Christmas account is entirely accurate. I don't know what the percentages would be in this church, but I can think of some churches where those percentages would ring true. We need to check the evidence. We need to be able to give a defense for our faith, the faith of our heart. And if we don't, then we're in danger of falling by the wayside. So, hope explored. Go along to it. Take other people from the church along to it. Take non-Christian friends along to it. Explore our faith. Because every so often the virgin birth is questioned, even by those who should be teaching the truth. Bishops, academic theologians. So there's a group, they're called very liberal theologians, they're called the Jesus Seminar. And anything that is miraculous or divine, they don't believe. Whether it's angels, virgin birth, the idea of God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Take it all away and we're left with nothing. And so there are many people in our churches who deep down really don't know what they believe. They don't believe in a God of miracles. And so it affects prayer life. So has the Church of England really been praying for a release from COVID? Do we see it there publicly? Do we believe in a God of miracles? And so it means that churches and our church leaders often operate on a purely human level, and it comes down to a lack of knowing God. And so many don't even pick up their Bibles in between Sundays. And so in Acts 17, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to check out what the Apostle Paul had said. So as we come into a new year, let me encourage you, as you make your resolutions, to forget the rubbish ones like giving up chocolate and do more exercise. Don't worry about them. Your body only lasts for 70 to 80 years anyway. Get concerned about something that will last, the stuff the angels talked about. Examine the evidence. Hope Explored is a good way of doing that. Whether you're a believer or not, it's good to get to deeper knowledge. Secondly, they shared the good news. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They immediately started telling people what they had seen and what they had heard. And one of the great weaknesses of the church is that we're not very good at being evangelistic. And the reason we give for not being evangelistic is that we say we don't know enough. And we're afraid that if we try to tell someone about Jesus, they'll ask us questions we won't be able to answer, and we'll be embarrassed. That goes back to the previous bit, doesn't it? About examining the evidence. And the great thing is, you can't overeat on the food of eternal life. So make sure you get ready meals of sermons and Bible talks. Get plenty of good home cooking, Bible readings, study notes for your own. And there's plenty of cookery books out there, Bible reading notes to help. Then take part in those bring and share meals with a few others in home groups and Hope Explored and an evening of prayer. A rich and varied diet, a balanced diet, and you won't go wrong. But there's another reason why we've lost that evangelistic edge. It's not that we don't believe in Jesus. It's not that we don't believe in heaven. It's not that we don't believe in hell. It's just that we don't seem to be convinced that anybody is lost. When something is lost, you search until you find it. But the problem with the church today is we're not really sure anyone is lost. And so most Christians tend to think that God will let anyone in, apart from really bad people. So we're not looking for people. We're not out in the highways and the byways. We don't have the passion and the concern for those who are going to a Christless grave and a Christless eternity. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. Some time ago, the Catholic Digest conducted a survey and asked people if they believed in hell. The vast majority said they did. They believed in hell. But when they were asked who was going to be in there, only 22% believed that Hitler was there. 15% believed that Joseph Stalin was there. Only 10% believed that Judas Iscariot was there. Now, I believe that God could save all of those people. I don't know if they are in hell or not. But you see, if we believe in hell and we don't think anyone is going there, if we, unless they've been really, really bad, and even Hitler might not be there, then we're not going to evangelize, are we? And yet the teaching of Scripture is that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, all stand condemned, which is why Isaiah and Ezekiel and these shepherds were so afraid as the glory of the Lord shines around them. But the good news of a Savior is for everybody. Everybody needs saving. We may not have seen him as these shepherds did, but we know him. And we need to be as concerned and as eager to share the good news. We need to follow the example of the shepherds and get busy telling what we have seen and what we have heard this new year. Will you make it a prayer to pray for one or two people, to have that opportunity to share the good news with them? to have the opportunities and the courage to invite them to come along to church. And so church numbers are declining up and down the country, but we can buck that trend. I believe in a God of miracles. Will we pray for people? At present, I work in a training establishment, Royal Engineers Training Establishment in Minley. I have 7 courses which go through. It's a 12-week course, and basically they just go through and go through and go through. And round about week 3 of each 12-week course, I have a church parade with them. And there's 44 trainees in each group, and every time I ask, how many of you have gone to Sunday school? If there's lots of foreign Commonwealth, then more hands will go up. Maybe 6 or 7 hands will go up. But if there's no foreign and Commonwealth soldiers, 0 hands. And that's happened the whole year. At least 12 courses has gone through. 44 trainee soldiers. Various ages, majors 16 up to around about 30. 1 or 2 per group. We're not touching our young people. Pray for that opportunity to talk to a young person, to invite them to come along. The third thing these shepherds did, they returned to their jobs. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just what they had been told. There comes a time when we have to leave the manger. You can't stay there forever. And at some point in time, we've got to leave the manger and go back to tending the sheep. A true story. A minister received a Christmas card with a note in it from a lady in his congregation. She was very complimentary about his preaching and compared him with Billy Graham. And she finished by writing, "I think you are one of the really great preachers of all time." Later that day, when he showed the note to his wife, she asked, "Who is that woman?" And he replied, "Well, she's a very intelligent woman in the congregation who loves great preaching." And he then asked his wife, "How many great preachers do you suppose there really are in the world?" And she replied, "One less than you think." And you see, the test of our ministry is not dependent on how many complimentary notes we receive, or how many pats on the back come our way, or even how well everything is going our way. There will be times when anonymous notes arrive and criticisms come and unpopular decisions are made. The true test of ministry comes when times are tough and hard, when the angels are gone, and when we go back to doing our jobs faithfully. Howard Thurman wrote these words, "When the song of the angels is silent and the stars in the sky is gone, when the shepherds are tending the sheep again and the manger is darkened and still, then the work of Christmas begins." And that is the challenge of Christmas. Have our everyday lives been transformed by the good news of Jesus, so that we keep praising God even when things are hard, even when COVID is against us? We don't know what 2022 is going to throw at us. But we do know there will be some bad times. But will we be people who can still praise God and so witness to the truth that we know in Christ? Amen.